Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to AMC Press and Co. We welcome you whether you're on planet Mars. This means aliens can hear us. Brilliant! We wondered where those came from. We were all talking about it in the office. Short notes. Very quickly before we begin, we are an affiliate of Blog Talk Radio Network. We would like to express the views and opinions of the hosts are not shared with any affiliates or sponsors. View discretion is advised.
Well, hello, and welcome to AMC Press and Co. This edition is titled, How the Boer Got His Education, or reversing that, How the Education Got the Boer. And welcome to AMC Press. Let's see. Just in time for Valentine's Day, we had a message from our answering machine. That's what we've all been waiting for. The headmistress loses her lover to a boer. And what's next? Boer sheds his light on Samuel Jackson's Python? When he just responded in kind by saying,
let me think. I've had it with these I've had it with these snakes on this plane.
That's right. And then, by the way, Senorita, I am educated too. I am from San Salvador and have a degree in DSCHs. We're drinking tequila. And he obviously knew where to find and our information, which is at itsmyeuro.com/AMCPress. And shop for us on Zazzle.com, keyword AMCPress shop. Our Twitter handles are AMCPress31 and AMCPressNews. That's right. We weren't joking. A boa constrictor is on the loose in Vermont at a college.
Whoops. Go on.
And they have basically, this boa constrictor went on out of the zoology department and is loose on campus.
Oh my.
To which every freshman is going, ooh, can I get it for my pig party? And every sophomore was going, ooh, maybe I can half this and use it as a sociology experiment. Well, the history professor was going, wait, that's Ben Franklin's bell constrictor. Or maybe they're just laissez-faire about it.
Or they just would not. Or they just think it's an interesting thing to...
Interesting thing about
having a bell constrictor. It could be studying science.
Or the bell constrictor can be studying the plot of the college. Last thing I knew about any college is there was one college where there was actual campus. The other one was actually two buildings. So he might have gotten loose and he bit the security guard. We will never know.
And it's also never assume.
No.
Never assume what happened.
No.
Because we all know what happens when you assume.
You make an ass out of everybody else.
You make an... No, no, wait, wait. You just make an ass out of you and me.
Mm. True.
Oh, that's a thinker.
So, yes. The bow constrictor. I mean, it is funny in the fact that boa constrictors naturally are predators, right? So
right.
Boa constrictor, boa constrictor, and boa constrictor. I mean, boa constrictor can have a very nice lunch with a ferret.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The ferrets will be running. Definitely running. Definitely running. You know, I can picture snakes on a plane mixed with anaconda, mixed with a sorority house. That would be funny. That would be great.
Or not.
See?
Or not.
You
or
know
not.
If it was, or not. You know,
I would think that would be similar to, or it got out of science lab. People clearly are students running amok.
Sounds like.
Well, maybe they needed an extra bell constrictor at Hogwarts.
Sounds like a sequel to
or
a movie.
Not.
Snakes on a plane, too. Snakes on campus.
Yeah. Snakes
or
on a plane.
I've had it with these snakes on the college.
I've had it with the snakes at the motherfucking college, said a terrified Samuel L. Jackson. But then they said, I've had it with the snakes on this motherfucking campus, said the headmistress, to which the janitor replied, I had to clean up the motherfucking snake. How do you motherfucking think I motherfucking feel? You know?
Yeah.
You know, he could have sneaked up into the bra section, or not, a Victoria's Secret, or not, and hid behind the wings of an angel and said, there is snake in heaven. There
snake
are snakes
plane
in heaven.
3. Victoria's Secret
what?
Edition. Coming soon.
Yeah. That would be interesting. That would be something to see.
It would be something to see. Yeah. Yeah. But yet, snakes and disability and mistrust. You know, snakes represent a lot of things. One, there are many snakes. And pulling up the bow constrictor facts, you know, they're pinkish. They're afraid too often. They're from northern Mexico, so they come with their own instrumentation, if you know what I mean. I'm not really all sure. Snakes, that would be pretty funny. to which the only lyrics would be, and I don't know how they would cover the arena. But yet, you know, they have something in common with cats because they do feed on rats, chickens, and mice. You know, and they don't know how long that they can live. So, it's quite interesting to see them not feast. You know, saying, we don't like humans. Kind of thing. But yet, Julianne Moore has an opinion, doesn't she?
Oh, yes, she does. Which I agree with her opinion.
Which is what, Jonathan?
Well, you made mention of it since you're on a roll.
Yeah.
Well, I'm consistently on a roll. That's just not me.
Yeah, you're on a roll because you enjoy talking, too, so...
Oh, damn.
Well, yeah.
I just chime
Excuse
in when
me
I...
For a second. Not you. Ali, can you take over for a second?
Sure. Julianne Moore is trying to say that people who are doing movies should be, should get a real perspective on disabilities, which is great.
But yeah, it just seems like it's all glamorized and all that stuff.
And I think that movies should have more to do with disabilities and really making it where the actually getting the perspective on disabilities and actually getting it known and getting it to be.
Like, getting it out there, like. Like, this is what I have to deal with every day.
Yeah. Because I don't think it's necessarily the right thing to do when people with disabilities could go through so much and there's a lot of misunderstanding. Or people just wanting to have quick judgments. Quick to judge, but... Or there's times where people may not understand, which is okay. But it's a matter of going and seeing what those have disabilities. You were going to say? Getting to know those who have disabilities, you have strength. And it should not be a thing of going, oh, you're not good enough, or, oh, you should be better, oh, you should be doing whatever to get out of your situation. Yeah, that's true, but people need to see that there are struggles, where it's not all rainbows, unicorns, and it's not a utopia. There's things people face every day, and people don't, may not see it. Movies only touch on certain things. They don't touch on everything.
Because honestly, they care for what sells.
Yeah. And sometimes people's lives could be in movies too.
Yeah.
Especially with all the struggles people face. Like, if someone has faced, should have, like, if there was a story that was based off of any person who's been on hundreds of medications, or the fact that they have faced adversity, faced all the challenges that people put in their way, and they work on being them. Not other people's sense of them. Them being them for who they are. Nothing else. And accepting. And actually going, okay, there's a lot of people out there that could share stories and shed light on those wrongs that were done. And also those inspirational stories of friendships being made.
True.
And accepting anyone for how they are. Not just going and realizing people can achieve, but it's not, there's called don't assume, it's called don't make an ass out of anyone.
Don't make an ass out of you and me.
Because I've had professors, I had teachers out there that made asses out of people with special needs.
Yeah.
What about those stories that you don't see in the entertainment industry? What about everything of that nature?
Well, that's what people don't focus on. I mean, like, I personally went through a lot of shit, ups and downs, and all of it. And there are some people who went to the school I went to who haven't been so lucky at all. They seem to, you know, the school that I talk about, you know, I went to a better high school and college than I did elementary school. And in general, the people that go to these schools don't ever make it. And they say, oh, you're not going to make it because, oh, you're not in the public school system. I was in the private school system, and it wasn't at all what I expected, you know, it to be. It was being mentally beat down every day for 7 years.
And I've gone through it with teachers, I've gone through it with students. I also know the thick skin I have and me being the way I am contributed. It came about because of my situations and me going, no, I'm not going to stand for those who don't want to understand me. If people can't understand me, I'm not going to, I feel, guess things from, but I'm not going to just take lightly to having crap being said when I've done.
I hate that, like, hey, throw me under the bus. I did nothing wrong. What would I do? I admit to it. So don't judge me.
No. I mean, it used to be, in my experience, you know, it's always been people blaming me. Oh, you're this. Oh, you're that. Oh, you don't even know math. So, in terms of, you know, me having dyscalculia, you couldn't mention that 16 to 20 years ago. If you said, oh, I have dyscalculia, they'll beat you over the head. You know, maybe that's why I kind of fear a lot of this world today, because they're more accepting, or so they say. But people are, 50 years ago,
we would have been thrown in a mental institution.
People are accepting, and I think there's a lot more resources out there for parents, and I can't deny those resources that are out there, especially when I have seen my parents learn a great deal from the resource, from what they have learned, that only helps, and I think everything's a learning experience. And there's a way of being respectful to those, not just going and taking time, because I know that there's times where I face people in general that teachers that didn't like people with disabilities, people who were very smart, but they could turn around and let it be known about that sort of thing. I mean, I'm only saying what my experiences were. That was it.
My experience, you know, I've been afraid for a long time about sharing what I went through, because it was so dark, and it would probably take the whole episode to actually tell you what really happened. But I'm not going to go into it. What I'm going to go into is that, you know, even if you're in the darkest part of your life, and my darkest parts were in my early childhood, and probably to age 14, where where people treated me less than people. But it was funny because we're in a school that was pretty much a shithole, you know, of a school, that there were so many things going wrong that it was hard to really do anything about for any parent. And my parents suffered. They suffered the wrath of this person who only had one fucking degree and claimed that she had a master's degree to almost everybody in the
horrible.
In the universe.
And you're
and
your
while she's taking advantage
horrible.
Of kids like me, that we weren't giving in America, it's called the IEP treatment. We got our IEPs, but they were valid, but some of it they ignored. We weren't getting the help we received. You know, I was getting beat up every day. Beat up mentally, beat up physically, beat up spiritually. Not in the right frame of mind at all. And that was only in school. I mean, it's fine to say, verbal intimidation and bullying isn't accepted anymore, and I'm glad for that. But there is a thing where that person who has been bullied to the extent that they've been bullied when they're younger, right? But they carry it with them. And mine got carried into his mid-20s is when I started finally letting go of it, and realizing that I was okay. That my... And realizing by writing it down that I was okay, that there was, that I could come out, you know, from everything. And
like
everything... What?
Like, come out of the darkness, like...
Yeah.
Yeah, coming out of the darkness and coming out of everything, you know, making sure that things like the ADA, why they're so important, things like, you know, now the ABLE Act and all the laws that, you know, you say to people with disabilities and regular people who are neurotypical don't fucking get it, and we do. But we're the silent majority, which makes me feel like shit, because even if you're the silent majority, it still doesn't matter. Own up. People don't own up to the way they really feel about you. You know? It's stupid. You know? People don't get that the inclusion that people feel on a daily basis is horrible. It's horrible. You know, the only thing we want is to be included.
You know, Like, last year I came out on Facebook as autistic. I swear I must have, like, over 200 likes on it.
About what?
Like, me saying, like, hey, I'm autistic. Took a lot of courage, but hey, I feel like a better person.
What do you mean you came out?
Like, hey, like, told the world that I was autistic, like, back in April. I never realized what I really had.
Well, most people didn't know for a long time that I had ADHD. And that some people, you know, like you said, coming out of the darkness and saying it's okay.
Like, I thought, like, everything's gonna be okay. And now look at me now.
Yeah. I mean, the one person
doing good
that
things.
The one person that said to me, it's okay, was when I was asked to write about my experiences by a mentor in London, I said, let me think about it, because not all of it is pretty, you know. Actually, it's pretty pretty bad, you know. It's not good at all, you know. Many people don't come out because they don't believe, they don't believe it's okay. But the first thing that it says on the play that I wrote, and it's a one-man show about my experiences. It's called Red Hoodie Diaries, and it explains that the difference between normal and I wouldn't say not normal, but disabled and whatever, and you know, nobody's going to change what you do. It's now currently at about 57 pages, and I'm going to continue to keep writing it. But it's really about what these experiences were and how my stuff got lost in the fire, you know, that I got lost in people thinking that I was a fake. I was always, you know, that's what it was. And I'm not a fake. I'm actually 100% real. You know, it was them that said, oh, you're not 100% real. You know, kind of thing. I mean, how was it for you, Tony, growing up?
It was like so long ago, but it was quiet back in the day.
Yeah.
Until I hit about 18, like, boom. Things were starting to change, and they were changing for the better.
Well, yeah, I mean, that for me came about 2 years ago. You know, it's like me accepting me, you know, that...
Had to rely on what others thought of me, but now I'm doing myself.
Yeah. I had to rely on how much I was hated. You know, or thought I was hated.
Yeah.
And that was interesting. Because I didn't feel loved. I felt like shit. Still do sometimes. But, you know, I realize I'm loved by a lot of people. A lot of people.
Then I got in touch with some ravers, and next thing you know, like, all of a sudden, there'd be like, we love you, like, that's all I wanted to hear. People loving me.
Well, yeah.
Keeps me pushing every day, like, I can do this. I can do this. Much love to you all, by the way.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, there's more that, there's more that you can do, you know, if you feel that you're not accepted, find people. There's always people out there. Find people. Do stuff.
Find people that you would be doing interesting things with, like... And that came out all wrong, but yeah.
Well, interesting things with that don't include the interesting
part.
People
have the same interest in you. With you. Yeah, that's what I'm trying to get at.
Yeah, find that. And, you know, find the people who love you for you.
Oh, my.
Thank you, George.
Thank you, George. And then... You'll be better off for it.
Don't let the negative thoughts get you down. Like, there's a light at the end of the darkness.
Yeah, that's what they kept telling me.
There's always light in the tunnel.
And I said, no, there's not.
Just keep going.
Yeah, I was the guy at the end of the, I was a guy at the end of the bar stool saying, no, fuck it. Nothing's going to get right. And I was proven wrong. you know?
Yeah, and it...
Yeah, yeah. Which is great.
Yeah, so... Okay. What else do we have?
As much as we like telling our life stories over here.
As much as we love... Yeah. We should dedicate a two-hour episode to how horrible we all were previous to this. No, I'm kidding.
How about you, Ryan? How about you do that if you are so wanting to have a two-hour episode devoted to that?
Good for you.
Just saying. Because if you're wanting one, you can have a show devoted just to you. And
coming soon, the Red Hood Pity Party.
Oh, Lord. No way.
Good for you.
Yeah, no way. That's not going to happen anytime soon. But...
Shut up.
What else we got?
Well, what else we got? Well, a dad refuses to give up his newborn son with Down syndrome, which is really cool. That's really honorable.
Yeah, it is. Especially when his wife just wants to get a divorce because of the kid, which is very sad. When I commend that father. I find people, those who could do that and love their kids unconditionally, because there's always things that could, like, where I'm not trying to make assumptions, but from reading the article, when the wife says, oh, we're going to get a divorce after, I go, I say, don't give up on a child. The child, yes, the child might have a disability. There's so much more that community and I.
I mean, yeah, you give up on a person who's in an incubator.
Yeah.
That's like, oh yeah. You know, I used to say that I should have been left for dead on the operating table. So, you know, and I felt that way for a good portion of my life, you know, but, it's honorable that he didn't, his wife should understand that, that his kid means more to that family than anybody else, you know, because people with Down syndrome, yeah, they might have struggles and whatnot. I have friends with Down syndrome. But they persevere harder than, you know, and it's not...
With any disability, everyone has strength. Every person has a strength. That's what's huge. I'm sorry, Red Hood.
No, it's okay. No, and people with disabilities, they just push further and more tenacity have more brain power than those who don't. You know? It's, kind of not written in stone that way, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's, kind of that way. Kind of that way in
she might be throwing her way on her trials that could do great, like could potentially do great things in life.
Right.
Which gives hope to anyone in the world.
Yeah. It gives hope to anyone in the world, yes. But, gives hope to anybody in the world.
And it doesn't make what she did right either.
No, it doesn't. Not at all. It doesn't make anything right. But does it make it wrong? Yes. How wrong does it make it? We don't know. We don't know yet. Matter of really taking everything into perspective when you have a kid with a disability. That's really it.
And I know that we have another subject about the FCC and trying to take on and make it seem like it's a lovely, lovely if it's a utility. Yes,
it's not really a utility.
Right. It's called way of communication, a way of getting.
But they had to do it as something, right?
True.
Yeah. No surprise here. The cable companies are actually against it.
The what?
The cable companies are actually against this.
Yeah.
Oh, of course, because it would
affect them.
It would sink them. It would sink anybody.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
it's up to us to show them no, don't do this.
Yeah.
I mean,
could see the struggles, and do those who are in office realize that they'll be affected too?
A lot of people will be affected.
And,
definitely.
And I don't think they're thinking about themselves and their family members are going to say, you're voting on making a utility. How stupid are you? You're going to be affected yourself.
Yes, but what is this, Monopoly? You know, you're collecting utilities and stuff like that and whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think it's Monopoly. I don't think Monopoly has computers and internet on it.
No, but it should.
You mean, I could see, now I could see it having it, but there's a point where...
Where what?
Where... could just go about
quiet here.
I mean, it is one of those things, like, I don't think you would be allowed, you know, I think it's a stupid rule. I think it's going to pass. Or not pass, rather.
I can see a lot of people complaining, going, yeah, you need help. Who's calling up their
relatives
and saying, you're an idiot.
Can you not pass your bill? Thank you.
Yeah.
You know, kind of thing. Kind of thing, and that's really it for our episode. And we will see you next week. And hopefully,
what
it'll be funny.
What about our?
I'm kidding.
What about our end of credit, which you?
Oh yes. Well, this seems
to be forgotten.
I was just about to get into. This episode was produced by AMC Press & Co. Our sound is Johnny Duvall. Our drivers are Blue Rivers and Dick Von Berg. Our intern is F. Rue. Today's intern is V. Pink. V. Pink's intern is H. Bear. H. Bear's intern is T. and Bright. Our show next week is our show is produced by Speaking to iPhones, and this concludes our show tonight. And see you next week for more satire. Same satire situation, and same satire podcast. For us, all of you, good night.
Bye.
Bye.